This is the Texas Standard. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for host David Brown. Katie Miley, a 25-year-old from North Texas, took home the bronze medal this week in the 100-meter breaststroke at the Olympic Games in Rio. Miley's showing was impressive, but she might have placed even higher on the podium. The event's silver medal winner was Yulia Efimova of Russia. Efimova has failed multiple tests for performance-enhancing drugs. And her participation in the Games, as with many Russian athletes, was controversial. Even though doping isn't new, advances in drug testing clearly haven't kept illicit drugs away from elite athletics. Here to talk about this is John Hoberman. He's a professor at the University of Texas at Austin who studied Olympic drug testing. Professor Hoberman, when did drug testing, Olympic drug testing, actually first get started?
1968, at the Mexico City Olympic Games, and all they could test for at that point was amphetamines. And we know anecdotally that there was lots of performance-enhancing drug use at the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City.
Really?
Oh, sure. That would have included amphetamines, your stimulants, as well as anabolic steroids, which were well underway throughout the 1960s.
In what ways has Olympic drug testing changed over the past few years or even the past few decades?
I mean, the basic technology, the gas chromatography and the mass spectrometers, et cetera, has basically stayed the same. The tests do get better and better over time. What is frequently overlooked is that if the network of human beings who is running the system are not reliable, then it doesn't matter how good the lab equipment is. It doesn't matter how many drugs you can detect because the results are going to be fudged in one way or another. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen all the time because there's lots of people testing positive all the time. And so it's a very tangled and difficult situation, which in the year 2016 has reached a state of unprecedented crisis.
So how does it actually work today? What is the process for testing and who gets tested and how often?
Drug testing, when it is done what is today considered properly, is a very invasive procedure so that the athletes have to go online. They have to tell in advance where they're going to be for the next 365 days. They have to put up with surprise visits at odd hours. The regulations say that when you deliver a urine sample, the doping control officer is supposed to have your genitalia in sight at all times. This is a really extreme procedure, which is a symptom of this crisis of integrity.
So there are some people who believe that performance-enhancing drugs should be allowed in the Olympics. They say that it would make things easier, for sure, for people trying to test these athletes. What do you think about that idea?
I think that's a very bad idea for several reasons. First of all, it will drastically cut the recruitment of children into elite sport because many parents will not allow their children to go into non-medical hormone therapy when they're adolescents and post-adolescents. Second, it is a false level field that is creating by making the same drugs available to all athletes. First of all, ambitious athletes will overdope themselves no matter what the rules are. Secondly, you're penalizing the conscientious objectors, the athletes who simply will not dope themselves out of principle. Finally, this is an invitation to the further corruption of the medical profession. So there is just no real basis for legalizing doping other than keeping the sports entertainment industry in business as we have known it for the past half century.
John Hoberman is professor at the University of Texas and Olympic drug testing expert. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.